Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt.
Yo.
And today we're coming at you with episode 201. I apologize for not being on episode 200, but we had a great surprise with our buddy Ty Braga coming back for an episode and to talk nostalgia and to talk some MLR law variations and stuff. So it was nice to see Ty and know that he's still around and still part of the game. He's coaching high school. It's fun, man.
Yeah. It was fun, and it was what I enjoyed most was the fact that there were things that over those past 5 years, things that I didn't remember had happened, you know, or you kind of just forget, and then somebody remembers, and then that triggers, you know, some additional memories in your mind. You're like, oh yeah, what about this, that, or the other? I think perhaps the most interesting thing is we had talked about, like, somebody hacked in and got control of the MLR fan zone. And that was our major vehicle, right, to deliver our podcast content.
Yep.
And I always thought that somehow just hackers, you know, hack away and they do hacker stuff and they got access to it. What Ty revealed to me that I don't think, and I'm curious, that's why I'm telling the story. I don't know if you know, maybe you do. I certainly didn't know because he never told me, was that he thought, like, somebody said and posed as Dallin Stanford,
yeah,
had his picture and everything, and had asked to get access to the admin. Because he was friends with Dallin, he went ahead and gave him access, because early on at that time, Dallin was kind of, you know, hanging in there with us,
yeah,
and was a friend of the show and whatnot. So he gave Dallin access as an admin, and then that's how they hijacked the
MLR fans. I had no idea. But you know what? It makes sense.
Yeah.
Dallin was on our first show and he was, you know, looking to come on a couple times and he had the COVID haircut, unfortunately, at the time. You know, so I could see that happening, you know, and
right.
You know, it's one of those things people, and you get it now, you know, and I get it now. You always get these fake, you know, they either hacked somebody's, yeah, real account, right, or they have these fake personas. And so I'm always wary. I mean, I don't give anybody admin access to our stuff unless I really know them.
Right.
You know, at least have a video conference with them. But, you know, right, back prior to, you know, around COVID times, it was a little different, you know.
Folks, just so you know, the big guy won't give me access to our Instagram account because I fucked it up once. So,
yes,
that so gives you an now, idea of just how security minded the big guy really is.
Now, when we can't say all platforms at Rugby Rant Pod because of Rob Hammerschmidt, had to change it and start anew. But that's what makes it fun, folks. I got to be honest. Like, you know, I didn't get to be part of, you know, the nostalgia. But, you know, Rob's right. One of the things is you forget about all the stuff. The Tony Lamborn Ranfurly Shield story.
I forgot about that. That was
so we're gonna have to post it again. And it was one of the funniest stories I've ever heard, and the most rugby thing ever. It's akin to the stories I hear about the Stanley Cup, you know, and, you know, the Edmonton Oilers left it on the fucking side of the highway. And I think Ottawa won one year and the cup was in a in a train car that derailed and ended up in like a well or something. And
yeah,
you know, they, all this stuff. And the Rand Fairley Shield one is just like that. It's so funny, but
it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. Let's repost that one. If we get,
gosh, that's a great one. That's a great one. But yeah, no, it's it was good to see Ty. I'm glad. Hopefully he can come on for a couple, you know, episodes, you know,
yeah.
A little more. We always appreciate him coming on, and he was part of, you know, the glue that brought us together and held us together for 5 years. So, you know, we love seeing him. I really appreciate all the fans who said congratulations on 200. We really appreciate it. But now we're on 201, baby. So speaking of 201, we're going to go with Around the Pitch. Hammer time.
Hey, thank you very much. I want to talk about the news that just came out. We've suspected this, or at least had hints at it, for quite some time, but it's officially become official. The All Blacks, we knew were going to be coming to Chicago in November, and we didn't know who they were going to be playing. We kind of had a hint, a whisper, a rumor that it might be Ireland. That was my sixth sense, and my Spidey sixth sense turned out to be spot on. News just came out today, as of the recording on Tuesday, that the All Blacks will be playing Ireland November 1st, 2025 in Chicago. And it was an unreal experience back in 2016. It was so great. Obviously a historic victory for Ireland, as one of the, I think their first against the New Zealand All Blacks. But right here in Chicago, very much a pro-Irish crowd, and I'll be interested to see how many Hounds fans are wearing Hounds gear, not only to support Ireland, but to support their home team, Chicago Hounds. So pre-sale tickets, I was able to secure some, so I got a lot. The big guy, I'm overjoyed. I'm going to have to owe him a visit, even if I come out just to watch like a Triple-A minor league baseball team. But he's going to come out to Chicago again and visit Casa de la Hammer, as well the Falcons. I'm super freaking excited. Dan and Sheila, some of my best friends, are coming into town, and I'm just overjoyed. Jenny and I can't wait to be hosts for the weekend. The downside is that, you know, $100 seats in the south end zone, you know, the second tier, $100, not too bad, willing to do that. But so I'm getting six tickets. $600. Okay. The service fees were murder. Complete murder. $50 in fees per ticket.
That's right. Rough.
It is. Yeah, it was rough. But you know, I guess exclusivity breeds panic. And I panicked and said, fuck it, I don't care. So we got him. We're in the house. Scott and I are probably doing some stuff with the Rugby Rant, you know, during the first front end of the weekend, and maybe on the day, get some fan experience. I'm excited about it.
Me too.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
No, I mean, listen, it's an excuse for me to wear my Green Bay green in honor of Ireland.
Oh,
sitting in,
oh no, you don't, Danny.
The only reason I would support Ireland is because we're going to be at Soldier Field and I can wear my Green Bay Packers green.
Hey, folks, he's just trying to stick his thumb in my eye and every other Bears fan that's going to be in the house, and there will be many.
Of course. Gotta love it, man. I mean, if you can't bring the rivalry, what can you do? So my ATP is going to be unusual, but it's centered around, we're talking about the All Blacks versus Ireland in Chicago. And I don't know if I've ever told this story on air. I think I've told this to Rob, but honestly, we might have been cracking back a few last time I saw him, if he remembers this one. I'm a freshman in college, just finished my freshman year, working at the construction company my father works at. One of the supers is Barry Griffin from Ireland. You know, he lives in the Bronx, you know, from where the fuck was Barry from? Barry was, I think, was Dublin guy, because this, so the story goes, you know, I had played rugby that spring season and not that fall season. And he's asking me, you know, how'd you like it? Da, 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 whatever. We're bullshitting. And he's like, you know, Brian O'Driscoll. I'm like, You mean like the captain of the Irish national team? He goes, yeah.
Well, that guy?
Yeah, he goes, fucking Brian. I'm like, okay. I was like, yeah, I know who he is. I mean, you know, who would it? He's a superstar at the time. He goes, well, you know, when we were, I was younger, Barry's, you know, whatever, probably 3 or 4 years older than Brian at this point. He goes, I used to hang out with their family, whatever. I dated a cousin or something, you know, nothing raunchy or nothing, but just casual. Like, I know the family, whatever. He's like, you know, at the end of July, this is like June, the end of July, I'm going back home for a couple weeks. Let me see if I can get you a signed kit, you know, whatever. Yeah, no problem. Right. What are you? If you know somebody, right, get a signed kit. That'd be awesome. It's like, if not, get me a regular kit. You know, that'd be nice. So June comes and goes. July comes and goes. Barry's in Ireland for 3 weeks. He comes back. He's like, man, you know, couldn't get you a kit. Unfortunately, part of Brian's contract is if he has to sign, it has to be for like a vetted, you know, company that's going to sell it for charity. You know, he can't just like sign one-offs like, you know, they kind of do here in the States after the match, you know, like it was a thing, like he had to sign for charity or something. It was part of his contract. Yeah, no problem, Barry. No big deal. So July comes and goes. It's midway through August. Barry has a twin brother. Barry's twin brother comes over from Dublin. Barry, this is the, you know, this is my brother. And he points to me, all 5'10", 340 pounds, built like a nose tackle, and goes, yeah, that's the kid I was trying to get the O'Driscoll jersey for. And his brother goes, so you have cancer? And he points to me. And I go, what the fuck, dude? Like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, does it look like I would be under radiation or chemo with this weight? And he goes, Barry, you're a fucking arsehole. So Barry, after he heard from Brian, like, oh, I can only sign it for a vetted charity, pulled the, well, I got a sick cancer kid back in the States who really loves you. I never told him to do that. I never asked him to do that. I said, if you can get me a signed kit, I'll take it. If you can't get me a signed kit, that's okay. But in his family, I was known as the sick cancer kid. And when his twin brother came over, he was like, "What? Who is this fucking? This is the kid with cancer."
But you never got a kit then?
No, he didn't even get me a kit. That motherfucker. He's a cheap motherfucker. They wouldn't buy back at the bar either. Fucking.
You had pseudo cancer and never even got a kit, man.
Never got a kit. And then his brother was like, why are you telling people you got cancer? I was like, I didn't tell people. Your brother told you I got cancer. I was like, you've known your brother for like 37 years. He's been a liar for 37 years. He goes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is an outstanding story. That one I've never heard before. And it's worth retelling many times over.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It is a good one. It's a good one.
So if this ever makes the Brian O'Driscoll, I would love the signed kit, brother. I would love the signed kit. And who knows? Barry probably bullshitted and never actually fucking knew the O'Driscolls, knowing this motherfucker.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's funny. Well, by the way, speaking of you know, you come in here in November and us breaking bread and drinking alcohol. You remember that place we went to, Burger Brothers?
Yes.
To get burgers? Yeah. It was just actually on a local TV show where some folks from Chicago were looking for good burgers. They took the train out from Chicago to Winfield and went to Burger Brothers and you know, had like a Wagyu burger, et cetera.
That place was mint. I love that place. Yeah, man. They had hockey on TV when we went. It was great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It might be worthy of a revisit for sure.
See, I'm disappointed though, because you said Dan was coming. You never said nothing about Sheila. So here I thought I was going to be in the Hammerschmidt basement, snuggled up with Danny. Now that Sheila's coming on, we don't triple snuggle in my family. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she might take exception to that, but I'm sure Dana would be willing to wear his cowboy hat for you. So, hey, folks, I want to let everybody know before we start to move on to the rant portion of the show that week one is over and we're going to be talking about the results. Oof. But what I wanted to mention was that we indeed have a Super Brew winner for week one.
Thank God somebody
won. Other. Yeah. Yeah. So, cause I got like a point and a half, and I'll get to that in just a second.
I got my dick kicked in, baby.
Yeah, I got mine kicked in twice. I got mine kicked in so hard it came out my asshole. So, so Houston Knight, congratulations, mate. We got you in the works to get one of our fabulous Rugby Rant hoodies. We're hoping they go online, but if not, You're getting something exclusive, baby. So look forward to it. And I wanted to mention that given that Scott and I did so poorly and our good friend Dave Fee forgot to put in some of his matches.
What an idiot, Dave. Yeah.
Way to go,
brother
Fee.
In Christ, what an idiot.
Living up to your name, Fiasco. Way to go. But nevertheless, you can still get in. You probably still have a chance at winning the grand prizes. But get in while you can, because you can be a weekly winner too. And speaking of Macron, who we have to thank for sponsoring our Super Brew contest, yes, we got a little something at the Hammerschmidt household today, and it is a Macron away Hounds jersey. That's right. I'm not opening it, and that's because it is Preston Hammerschmidt's birthday gift, which he already had his birthday, so I'm not giving away nothing. But I can't open it. It's like it's sacrilege in the Hammerschmidt household. You don't open other people's presents or doorstep Amazon products. Nevertheless, real nice kit, and the logos are sublimated, which is kind of cool.
Bro,
that's something different.
I'm looking at the Super Brew ranking right now. I'm pretty sure our buddy Pierce, I believe his wife's first name is Thais Loban. Pretty sure she did better than him with 5 points here.
She did.
T. Loban.
I think his four-year-old son did better than him.
I mean, she
his four-year-old son did better than me.
He picked Miami. She picked DC over Miami by five. Wow. I mean, almost nailed it.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but yeah, you can be a punter and still do well in this game.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Don't trust the experts. But trust the experts in getting your MLR kit at Macron, our sponsor. Man, you know, talk about nostalgia. You saw Dave Fee, who we just talked about, is the first guy that shows up in that little thing. You have Ty in there. You got our buddy Wilkie, who decided to bow out of MLR fandom after Toronto left. Derek the Jet Brissette, who just left Les Rouges Rugby, who's taking a break from social media and rugby. You know, talk about a battle of attrition, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those, I think that's what's for us been a key is just being consistent and staying in the game. And, you know, not to say our passion is any more significant or more so than anybody else, but I think it's carried us through those difficult times and challenges. And I got to say, having a partner like yourself.
Dude, you're the one who steps up when I can't. So don't even start with that, bro. I'm having all these family issues, unfortunately, right now. And Rob is stepping up the content game. I mean, a million steps ahead of me. So.
Well, we carry each other, brother. We carry each other, and that's why we do it, because we have fun together, and it's been an absolute joy over 5 years. And shit, man, if we get five more years out of this,
dude, if we can make it to the actual World Cup, that would be insane. That would be fucking insane. Yep.
Maybe I can go fly out to. Of course, I'll need crutches because I'll be fucking old. But I'll fly out to New York for the New York games. You come into Chicago for the Chicago games, and we'll. I'll be retired by then, so I'll have plenty of time to travel.
That would be awesome. So today we are talking about week one. I mean, you know, it was one of those things where the topic was pretty simple. You know what I mean? We wanted to do something that was easy. We wanted to do something that's relevant. And what do we have? We had the kickoff of year eight of the MLR. You know, we've been getting geared up and talking about it, and you know, we're super excited about it, and you know, it finally happened. ESPN Plus, you know, you had four matches on Saturday and then one capping off on Sunday, and I gotta be honest, I had a great time. We did our first watch along of the Rugby Rant, which I thought I did pretty well. It's hard to, you don't want to do a play-by-play when you're doing it, but you also realize maybe people aren't watching along. You know, it might be something they're in their car or something and they can't get whatever, but they can get this feed, right. You know? So right. I try and give 100%. Detail about what's going on and figuring that out. But we kicked off, Rob, with Miami versus DC down in Miami, you know? And, mm-hmm.
Well,
how do you describe the game? I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, I think we're both in agreement, and a lot of the guys that and women who come on the show are kind of in agreement. It takes like 4 weeks to get like a turning point where you see less mistakes, right? Maybe three.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I think that goes all the way around. I don't think mm-hmm. it's just purely the game. And I'm not... Yeah. Please don't misunderstand. I am not knocking anybody. As a matter of fact, I had a nice call with Will Hooley, who is a color commentator on many of the broadcasts for the games. Will and I were chatting a little bit about some things. And one of the things we talked about is just, you know, we need to sharpen on the, not on the production side, but, you know, all the way around on the product that's put out. We need to sharpen our skills as we start to get into the season two, that it's not just the players that need to kind of get themselves sharp and game ready and kind of get themselves back in the swing of things. But on the production and talent end, we do as well. And so, yes, were there some hiccups? Were there some refs that their mics were going in and out? Were there some challenges in that regard? Yes. But ultimately, we have to celebrate the fact that a rugby is back in America. And, you know, players are on the field and we're actually getting to see the MLR game that we know and we love on a weekly basis all the way up in through June.
Yeah, listen, and it's going to happen. You know, we'll talk about it in the NOLA match. There was a communication issue between the official in the middle and the TMO. But
yeah,
it's funny. At the match, you probably wouldn't notice it, but it sounds weirder when you have a TMO, can you hear me? And you have an official, can you hear me on the television side? You know, but, you know, it's all trying to get the call right. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have weather. I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not surprised because the next day in Daytona, which isn't too far from New Orleans, they had like a 7-hour friggin' rain delay because the weather was crazy. So you're going to get that, you know?
Right.
Well, let's talk about Miami OGs. Let's talk about Miami OGs.
Yeah, let's do that.
Tale of two halves here. Miami really, you know, they had what'd they have? They had one, two, three, four tries in the first half. You know, Moody broke up the scoring first for Miami. It's funny. DC, right, scores on 3rd minute, 20th minute. Miami scores on the 28th, 34th. 43rd and 37th minute. So it's like DC for the first 20 minutes are kind of pushing them. Then all of a sudden Miami comes in there for a spurt and takes over right until the end. And I mean, if you're looking, it's interesting because for some reason, and I don't know if this is a team cohesion thing, it just seemed to me like the Miami subs weren't, I don't want to say they weren't trusted, but the starters tapered off so far. It was weird to me. I don't know. It's like, it's almost like they mismanaged their subs because the OG subs came in with fresh legs. They knew what they were doing. You know, I'm unsure of what the issue was with the subs for Miami. I don't know. It was a tough one for me to watch because it just seemed like the last 15 minutes was just a downward spiral for Miami where, oh, geez, I wouldn't say they went up in play, but they maintained a status of play and a pace of play that was consistent with their starters. You know, and you know, McVee and Connor Buckley are kind of interchangeable, and that's why they have those two.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So, you know, Connor Buckley goes out, I think, at 55 minutes or 60 minutes, and Ethan McVee comes in 53 minutes. Ethan McVee comes in, and you're getting the same play out of both of those guys. They're not the greatest with the boot. They're great with getting the ball out. They're great with the ball in hand and making a play, which is what the OGs are trying to do, right? So it fits their system. And so that's consistent. And I got to be honest, man, I just felt like we talk about people getting in their game. And I think the official did a great job in most parts. And I don't want to say that Luke Grogan did a bad job in any part. But I do think, again, there was times where OGs are winning the scrum because Miami can't hold the weight. But because it's a Miami put in, it's like, oh, Miami gets the – they wheeled it. But it's wheeled because Miami's not holding the weight. So as the team with the better scrum, why are we penalized? Why are they being penalized when the other team can't hold the weight? Jack Isacaro put on a clinic. You know what happened was Alec McDonald went out in the first 5 minutes. He was the starter for a high tackle. So the 20-minute red card ensues. Alex Tucci comes in, and unfortunately, Jack Isacaro was just, you know, messing with him all day and just had him. And that scrum would turn, but how is you supposed to deal with that as the more powerful scrum, Rob? If they can't hold it and it's turning because that team is weak on that side, that shouldn't be a penalty to the team that's getting turned, in my opinion.
Yeah, and correct me, and guys, look, I've never officiated rugby in my life. I've only played the game and obviously watched the game, but you know, back in the day when I was playing, right? When we would often force the wheel, you know, by using a strong scrummager on one side and pulling back on the other to create an advantage, especially if the ball was at our eight man's feet on the weak side, we would look to create that wheel to give ourselves a competitive advantage on that weak side and attack. Right. And attacking that wing and forcing, you know, bringing our eight man up, bringing our nine around, and then bringing our wing in. So we create an odd man advantage. Now it seems like any time that you get a push or you cause the other side to go backwards, you run the risk of drawing a penalty on yourselves rather than drawing a penalty on the opposition.
I wish we had the ability,
not being able to hold the scrum.
Yeah, I wish we had the ability to clip it and show you, because one particular penalty that they gave Miami was when they were locked up. Sean McNulty was starting to pop up. And usually that's the sign of the weaker side, because they're not properly propping up their hooker because of that pressure. And they gave the penalty to Miami. Now, in all honesty, I have the advantage of the camera angle, which is usually from a little bit from above, usually on the side, you know, I can see the opposite side of the referee. You know what I mean? So maybe it's just one of those things. But to me, it just felt like Jack Isacaro was being penalized for being too good in the scrum. Yeah. You know, and again, I'm not trying to like shout out Luke Grogan as a bad official or anything. He can only see what he could see. You know what I mean? So he calls what he's going to call, and that's the game. But I just feel like we need to take a look at it overall, because I think we're going to see this for the course of the season. Because I've been complaining about this for like 5 years now, Rob. Like, yeah, that, you know, this has been a consistent complaint for me. Well, but I feel like the stronger scrums are getting penalties.
It goes back to the old Segway official coming in.
Yeah. This is why we need the fifth official. Go check out therugbyrant.com and check out the need for the fifth official on the Segway, certified, you know, prop or front row, where we could take a hooker, I guess. You know, he's a little too light, but we could take a hooker to come out there and just officiate the other side of the scrum, because usually that's where the shenanigans are. It happened. What match was it? Yeah, no, it was Matt Harmon. There was a scrum in NOLA where Matt Harmon fell, and he was on the, you know, the opposite side of the put in, went on his knee.
Yep.
It turned, but because it was a NOLA put in, they gave NOLA the penalty. And I'm like, but if you could see the other side, you could see Matt Harmon slipped out from underneath himself and was now in an illegal position in the scrum. So why would NOLA get the penalty? Yeah, you know, well, again, couldn't see the angle. I have the ability to see it from the side because of the TV. So again, right. Not trying to shout out an official but I think as a whole, we need to talk about how we're officiating scrums, because to me, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I want to go back to the point and maybe answer your question about the strength of the subs that came on for both teams. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, this is just. I'm postulating here. All right. This is a punter's analysis. All right. And by that, I mean somebody who does know shit, jack shit about the game compared to, you know, guys that are doing it every day at the MLR level. But it could be one of the differences be the fact that OGs have really put an emphasis on the American player. If you notice, their lineup has a lot of domestic players. I mean, Calaxico Martinez is, of course, Canadian, but for all intents and purposes, it's a North American player. So, you know, a lot of those guys stuck around DC and got a lot of reps and got a lot of, work together earlier in the offseason. And Simon Cross was there all mm-hmm. fall doing the yeoman's work around DC. But my point is, you know, were they an advantage because they've been laying the groundwork for a bit longer time, whereas a lot of the Argentinians and some of the South American players that were coming into Miami, you know, probably only just came in January to get rolling, and they hadn't really developed that chemistry and gotten themselves into that kind of shape that they needed to. And I don't necessarily mean fitness. I just mean, you know, cohesive shape that they mm-hmm. needed to. In preparation for an earlier starting season than last year.
Well, to your point, if you want to go through it, Sam Davies, former Rooney for 2 years. Connor Buckley, Whiteside. Rooney. Billy Whiteside was Rooney for a little bit.
Right.
Jason Emery, Rooney. John Powers, Rooney. And if yeah. you throw in guys like Jamma and you throw in guys like Corey Daniel and Colin Gross right. and Coy Coy Nelligan and Jack Isacaro and Ethan McVie, they've been on the OGs, they've been on Rooney, but they've also, when they were younger, been in talent camps together, and they played against each other in college. So there's a familiarity built between the guys who played together at Rooney and are coming together to play at OGs, and the guys who are on OGs and might have crossed over with the Rooney guys, you know, the Americans who've been playing in college and you know, in talent ID camps, and guys who Scott Lawrence are shouting out. So I think you're right. I think there's a familiarity there because of that synergy they have from knowing each other, playing with each other for so long. You know, I mean, Jason, John, Connor Buckley played together for 3 years at Rooney and then last year at DC, right? Or Jason was in LA, but John and Connor at DC. Sam Davies played a couple years from Rooney. He comes back to the MLR and goes right back in with a bunch of Rooney guys. You know what I mean? So it's, I do think you're right. The cohesiveness is there. The guys, because they're domestic, have the ability to stay together and play together. So I just think you saw it. So the ending of that match was crazy. OGs were down by five. Miami gets OGs get a throw in, and you think, oh man, they're gonna come with a rolling ball here and score, because they've been doing that quite frequently. Their set pieces are just killing Miami. Overthrow, Miami gets the ball. For some reason. And I can only speculate, because this is the way they play. Miami decides, instead of to hold on to the ball with a minute left and just run phases, which they could have done. They honestly could have done. Mm-hmm. Even mm-hmm. though they were on their own 22, they could have done this. They decide mm-hmm. to kick the ball down. The ball gets charged down. OGs start to take it the other way. And OGs then do a cross kick, which was some balls on that. Some balls
on that guy,
balls on that. And Mueller comes in for his hat trick try, where I think, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Tomas Kubila came in and misplayed the ball. Mueller comes in yep. and dots yep. it to tie uh-huh. it. Jace Roberts slots a relatively easy conversion. It was kind of close to the sticks yep. to win the game with no time left, but it was a shocker of a loss for Miami, who had a great crowd. And Paul Sheehy wrote this amazing post on social media about the crowd in Miami and their love for the game, and regardless of the outcome, how they were, the fans were welcome, the players were welcome, and passion, yeah. exactly, and how they do game day right and everything. And it was great to see your owners talking great of other owners and pushing people to go to away matches, you know. But yeah, it was just a shocker for the first match. And I know my wife was pissed off because I was screaming my bloody head off, Rob. I just got going, sure, oh my were. God, oh my God. Oh man, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, and I gotta say, you know, speaking to the passion, like I still remember last year the Hounds opener in Miami. So it's Miami's opener, obviously, as well. A complete torrential downpour the whole game. And, you know, you'd think a guy like Marcos Galperin would be in an owner's box, right? Yeah. Staying out of the rain. No, dude's got a big blanket over his head. He looked like every other fan there, just taking in the weather, just getting pelted by water, didn't care. He was just excited for Miami Sharks rugby. And I think it's a testament to the fans down there, et cetera. So yeah, what an exciting end of the game.
Obviously. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I forgot to mention that for the last, 10 minutes, Miami was down two players.
Down two players.
So again, that to me, that decision to kick doesn't make sense, because if you're going to give the ball back to the team with two players, yet they have a 2-man advantage in a kicking situation, that's going to open up a lot of room for a counter run.
Right.
I just don't get it, Rob.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like I said, you know, it's, or like you said, you go with the pick and goes, and you just try to, to you know, wear down the clock and make it to the end. But let's get on to the
final. Was 31-29. Yeah. So the next one was our live show, or my live show. Rob was unfortunately, but Rob was coaching a wrestling tournament. He's a wrestling coach at the high school. So okay. Love it. Love to see it. So again, I don't mean that like, unfortunately, I just mean we didn't get to do it together. Right. And I got to be honest, it was just a tale of a team who made mistakes. I mean, if you watched my exasperated look every time Anthem had the ball, it's like immediately they would have a handling error. And I mean, we're talking about like Mitch Wilson had like handling errors. We're talking about like Lonnie Latu had like three or four handling errors. Junior Gaffa had some handling errors. It was like every time they had the ball, they had a goddamn handling error. And it was just, it was ridiculous, Rob.
Yeah, Mitch had a couple high balls that he missed on that really counted against him. And just Nola didn't do anything particularly special. I thought that they had a more dynamic back line and that they had a bit more depth in their attack than they had last year. In other words, you know, last year was a lot of through the hands, and I didn't think their attack was particularly dynamic or it had a lot of creativity. This year they seem to have a bit more creativity. They're running much more that, you know, 1-3-3-1, so that there's multiple attacking options in the midfield. And I think it suits them very well. But you know, that's not a new tactic in rugby these days. But I thought they did pretty well in attack. Obviously put up four tries. Pat O'Toole had a brace of tries.
He actually had the hat trick and it got taken away. Unfortunately, there was an obstruction call. And I thought the TMO did a good job and the review did a good job of explaining about how when somebody comes down in a line out and how they could be in the offside position off of that.
That jumper's got to come down to be the first man. Right. Somebody with props can't step in front of him.
Yeah. What happened was, is they broke off from the main pack and those props ended up in front of O'Toole in a way that made that obstruction. So he got that third one taken back, unfortunately, but he got the brace. And it was 50th cap.
And his 50th cap. Now I will say what was interesting. And again, you know, shout out to Will Hooley. He and I were having a conversation, you know, Monday so it's 7-0 at about the 12-minute mark in favor of Nola. The Anthem come back and score a really nice try, right? And you're thinking, okay, this could be a match. This could be an exciting match. The Anthem could, you know, maybe get a snatch of victory here in an away match down in the Crescent City. And, of course, what happens? They score. They kick the extras. It's 7-7. That's what's up on the scoreboard. That's what's up on the TV. And the TMO calls down to Marquise Goodwin, says, no, we've got to have a look at that, which contravenes what we understood to be the rule, is that you can't, after the extras are scored, you can't go back to the TMO, but that's not true.
Exactly. They changed that in like 2022, I thought.
Yeah. So, But typically, what do we see? And we see it at an international level, right? If there is a question, the TMO says, hey, you know, official, hold up. Don't let him kick the extras. We got to take a look at this. And you see the, you know, the 10 or whomever's kicking, standing at the middle, fumbling around with the ball until he gets clearance to go ahead and have a kick. But I think what we saw is some Marquise was having trouble communicating with the TMO.
He
you heard when he was going through that exchange, you know, I can't hear you. Can you please repeat? That was happening several times. So I think they were probably trying to call down to him to let him know that they had to have a look at this. And maybe we'll reach out to Marquise this week and find out.
I got a question, Rob.
Yeah. But my point that I want to throw out there before we answer that question is my question to Will Hooley is, does if that counts, does that try to change the complexity of that game?
It does, but it's just like anything in it's just like anything, you know, anytime they change the play in football, it could change the game. They call, you know, puck hits the inside of the post and it's so fast the replay doesn't catch it in the time and the New York replay in the NHL and they call it a no goal and now all of a sudden the faceoff is done. So I don't mind that we're waiting on the restart.
No, I don't either.
You know, and people were all pissed off. Oh, there should be a there is a time. It's the fucking restart.
Right.
You know, and they changed their, it's been a rule for 2 years now. Like just because you didn't get the memo, don't be a jerk about it online. So many people were fucking jerks. It was crazy. But my question is, and this might be a good one for Marquise, DARs, they don't hear the TMO in their headset? Like, were they getting the same feedback as Marquise because it's all in one connection? Or maybe they were getting a better information because I think later in the match, you would see one of the ARs kind of come over to Marquise when they were talking to the TMO. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was because maybe that AR could hear better. Or he was just conferring with him because he couldn't hear the TMO.
Well, and I think production gets the TMO as well. And so I don't know that we heard any of the commentators, either play by play or color, for that particular match that could hear the concerns of the TMO. So maybe it was something on the TMO's communication bit end. I don't know.
And it was North American officials. Marquise in the middle, the US, USA, Jacob Gonzalez, USA, Monolonga, USA, and Cam Russell as the TMO in Canada. So that's nice to see. Right. I think my favorite try of the match, and you were talking about law trials last week. This is why the automatic seven is good. You have Cam Dolan getting a card for cynical play. And the only reason I tell you that is because then you have Carl Keane, the 9 for Anthem score, Cam Dolan-like try, where he runs up the A-gap right under the sticks. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Cam do that a lot, where he looks like he's setting up to do something else. And then he goes to that A-gap that he kind of squeaks through. And Carl Keane does what I call the Cam Dolan. But in doing that, the next thing he does, he scores in between the sticks. He knows he gets it, and he runs his ass to center field because we're doing this restart right now. We're getting this comeback going.
Right.
You know, and that's where I like that automatic seven.
Right. And that's one of those law changes that was trialed in the MLR, then came to be in use all over the world. And it was great to see. I think it really, I mean, while they couldn't capitalize it to change the outcome of the game, it definitely adds a layer to the game.
What you can do.
You can do if you're thinking with your head.
Yeah. So that one was all NOLA 35-14. So the next one was Houston, Chicago. And I'll let Rob take more of the handle on this because at this point I was in the middle of the Houston, the NOLA Anthem game. So I missed like the first half of that Chicago match.
Yeah. So let me set the stage. First of all, I think people need to understand that just like a week prior or a week and a half prior, the Hounds had gone down to Houston to play essentially a preseason match.
And that was the one where it was like three halves or something.
Yeah, they actually played an extra 15 as it turned out. But basically it was 60-18 in favor of Houston. And it was one of those things where my good buddy, shout out to Ian Wagreich, who was involved with the Hounds. But Ian texts me, goes, uh-oh, Houston's going to be good this year. and he was having some concerns. And I said, yeah, they should be good. But, you know, let's ride this bad boy out. So at any rate, what was it? 10-0. Within the first 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh boy, let's get a handle on this. And my concern wasn't just that it was 10-0. 10-0 10 minutes in is not an insurmountable task. Mm-hmm. The points didn't concern me. What concerned me was the vibe that I was getting from the Hounds. And the vibe was that they were frantic, that it was almost like they were hurried. They felt pressured. They weren't playing with a cool confidence that I would have hoped early on they would have played with, especially with a guy like Tim Swile at 10, you know, guy with Prem experience. I would have thought that they would have been much more cool, calm, and collected. So I don't know if it was just a nervousness, but they settled down pretty well. I think they got 7 on the board not too long after that. And at that point, they started to settle into the pace of play and the pace of the game. They scored another 7 and went up 10 to 14 and kind of went back and forth a little bit. Here's the big thing for me, if you didn't watch the game, folks. At one point, the Chicago Hounds were down 2 men. They've gotten a red card, Noah Brown, because he got 2 yellows. Mm-hmm. And they got another yellow card. So they were going to be down for 2 men for 10 minutes and 1 man for 20. Right. Sorry, I should say 2 men for 10 minutes and 1 man for another 10 minutes.
Yes.
And I thought, oh boy, the floodgates are going to open up. But to a huge credit to that, you know, Hounds team, they really weathered that storm. Not only did they not let Houston score any points during that stretch, they scored 7 themselves. Mm-hmm. So a big shout out. One of the reasons and one of the things that I think made a huge difference in this game for me was the lineout. And Seth Smith started the game for Houston. Great to see an American young 19-year-old American kid mm-hmm. playing. But he probably had about 5 lineout errors. And then I forgot who came in his stead.
Pete Anayasu.
Yeah, yeah. He had 2 or 3 throughout the game.
I mean, he came in like 6 minutes into the second half, too. Like, it was quick.
Right, right. It was quick. But their lineout really, it goes to show you just how important it is to have a quality set piece platform from which to attack, right? It denied them possession. It denied them opportunities to get any continuity and flow. And it really, I think, turned the tide for the Chicago Hounds, who were clinical in the lineout.
Well, so this goes back to using your subs. Houston subbed the loose head, the tight head, and the hooker all in the same minute and the same break at the 46-minute mark. You know, interesting, because Pono Davis, you know, we're doing a lot of work for the Eagles and stuff. And like,
yeah, and they weren't bad in the scrum. I thought Houston had a pretty solid scrum. As a matter of fact, they buckled the Hounds at one point in that first half.
And why not push them the 55 minutes?
Right.
You know, one thing I will talk about is, who was it? It was Justin Basson. It was his yellow card was interesting, because what I'll do is I'll shout out Robin Kaluzniak, the official in the middle there. He told him, if you look at the replay, he told, do not collapse that ball.
Yeah.
And then he immediately, and now don't get me wrong, when I say he collapsed the ball, he was probably already overextended somewhere and was, you know, he was going to fall down and he was just in a position where he was collapsing the ball. But I like that the official was like, don't you collapse that ball. Don't you collapse that ball. You know,
it's part of being proactive. Be, so when you, yeah, when you do have to give those yellow cards, you can say, hey, look, I gave a verbal. Everybody heard it.
Yeah.
I let everybody know where I stood on this issue. And then when you have to make that call, it's, you know, it's
and you know, having been in malls, sometimes it's out of your control whether or not you collapse it. So, right. You know, like I said, I don't think it was a bad play necessarily, as Basson was in a bad position, which every coach will tell you, you should never be in a bad position, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chicago squeak went out in Houston.
It's a huge
25-22. That's a big win for Chicago to take one from, you know, the West Coast.
My only complaint, Scott, mm-hmm. My only complaints was that there were 2 points in the match, one of them which the Hounds were probably at about 30 meters out from the mm-hmm. try line in the middle, I think just left of center. And they went ahead and kicked for post. Mm-hmm. And they had 3 tries at that point. And I kind of feel like, And now, was
that
Carlisa missed it.
Yeah.
I really at that point said, why not go for the corner? Right? You have Butch. He already scored one on a rolling maul. They've had a really good maul throughout the game. Why not go for the corner and try to get that fourth try and that bonus point?
Exactly. Because so they did not get point. The bonus point win.
Correct. Correct. You know, and that happened probably about, I don't know exactly, but about 10 minutes later, same decision was made. And I kind of said, again, at that point, why not go for the corner?
I wonder,
we know how important bonus points can be.
I know, but I wonder if it's you had Carlse come in because Mark O'Keefe broke a collarbone. So it's not like Mark O'Keefe, you got 60 minutes out of him and Adrian Carlse came in to replace him. Right. So you're talking about a guy again, and we've talked about this with Dylan Fawcett, you know, last time we interviewed him, like, how do you come in as a sub sometimes, you know, when you have to come in early, right? I think we asked that about Lerone White too. Like if you're a sub and you have to come in early, like what's the mental portion of that like? But also, you know, maybe they just were like, let's get out of here. Maybe guys are getting nicked up. You know, you had Noah Brown eventually get his two yellows for his red, right? So you're down a man at that point. So maybe it's more like, how much punishment do we want? You know, you had Hamish Bain had a yellow at one point early in the match. So again, he you collapse one maul as a lock, and all of a sudden you get another yellow, you know, or accumulation of penalties, and you were the last infringement, and you get a yellow, right? So then maybe they were thinking, let's kick the points, get the lead, and go home. Just want to point out another crew of officials that are North American. I mentioned Robin Kaluzniaki. There we go. Canada, Kat Roach and John O'Cooper were the ARs, USA, and Chris Asmus, Canada. Chris, I know very well from, he did a lot of Rooney matches, and I'd like to, I would pretend to give him money in the parking lot in front of like Scott Green. Like, remember the close ones, and it would be like a dollar, you know? I'd be like, remember the guy stuff in his pants, you know? But he was a good dude, but yeah. So Squeak went out 25.
Yeah.
22 in favor of Houston. Now we go out to LA. Now I have to be honest, this played out exactly like I thought it would play out. You know, the Free Jacks did what the Free Jacks were doing. While I do think LA looks a lot better, I just think their set piece isn't as strong as New England's. You know, Caleb Geiger getting the start and played 70 minutes is a powerhouse. And, you know, we've been waiting. Like last year, we were waiting for him to get more minutes and waiting for him to get more minutes. And he finally got the start in LA. So you love to see that. And playing 70 minutes at prop, you know, I mean, but this guy, you have to realize Caleb Geiger is a guy who is very athletic to begin with for a big guy. So 70 minutes for him is really nothing. But my point being is you're keeping him at 70 minutes. I think, Nagatai was there for 70 minutes, and I think Quatrin was in there for like 65 minutes. So the opposite of Houston in the Chicago match, where you had your Free Jacks front row playing 65, 70 minutes. And to me, again, that builds up some of that synergy you may not get for a lack of a preseason or a lack of preseason matches. You know? So, I mean,
yeah.
And actually, they didn't even play three of their subs. You know, they made sure their guys got minutes. So that was interesting. I remember Christian Dyer got taken out at halftime. I don't remember why. I don't know if it was just they were trying to maybe do something there in LA. You know, Christian Dyer was playing the 14. They put in Billy Meeks at halftime. Mm-hmm. You know, we know Billy, while he's a passable 10 at this point, you know, per his play last year with Chicago, we know he's really more effective on the wing or even at a center, to be honest.
Yeah.
Center's, if he can stay healthy. Position. Yeah. Center's his position, but I would say he also is a guy who gets nicked. So wing gives you a little less crashing and a little more step, you know, as far as contact. Yeah. So I could see him playing both, but he came in at halftime. So I wonder why that is, considering Christian Dyer, you know, is the man out there.
Yeah. I don't know. When watching some of the highlights from this game, wow, look at that back row from New England. This is one of the reasons why I still think they're going to be in a hunt to three-peat, because that back row, they picked up Vara, Geronimo Gomez-Vara. They have Johnson and they have Judd Melvin. Now, Judd Melvin, I think, scored a try, but he also got a yellow card. Nevertheless, I mean, that's a formidable back row.
And then he got a red card in like the last 2 minutes.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. And then Leroux Milan and Vanderbank, just absolute lightning in a bottle at that center position. So I think they're going to be, you know, again, a formidable team as we, you know, getting through the thick of this season, just because of some of their personnel. And we know that, you know, that team has leadership, just oozes quality.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to have to see what is the schedule for next week. Is New England on the bye? Because I have a feeling Melvin's going to get a couple games because I believe it was a shoulder charge to the head. I have a feeling that's going to go to the competition committee to take a look at the disciplinary committee, rather, to take a look at. Some of these are the yellows and reds by the letter of the law. Yes. Are they really suspensions? Sometimes it depends, but you know, again, I'm not on the disciplinary committee, so my opinion doesn't matter, Rob.
All right. Well, we could talk about the matches that are coming up next week and which ones are our locks of the week, but we'll get to that after we talk about the final game of the week, which was kind of billed, if I'm not mistaken, as
New England won 24-17. We forgot that. We forgot to mention that.
But if we want to talk about a game that everybody was looking forward to on the weekend, we thought this would be the stormer, and that was obviously San Diego playing host to Seattle.
I mean, talk about getting your dick kicked in. That first half was brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal.
For Seattle fans. I mean, they San Diego just had their way.
And I really thought that in week one, that having a coach that's been in place for now the third season and having a new coach come in that hasn't had any experience with this team, that kind of, I don't want to say came in late, but he certainly hadn't been laying the groundwork somebody like a Danny Lee has been laying in New Orleans, because he went right from San Diego to New Orleans, has been there all fall, kind of really, again, laying some groundwork and working with some of the lads that were continuing to stay in the city. I really thought John Manenti would have to find his footing a little bit, but boy, oh boy, that San Diego Legion squad absolutely were hammers in that first half. And by the way, I just want to say this, huge shout out to the San Diego fans and to Railroad Stadium. That place looked really good.
It
sounded
rocking.
Even better. It was rocking. You know, you clearly got the effect of what it would be like if you have a packed house at an MLR game, listening to that crowd just be on fire in support of their team.
Sorry, I'm trying to look for I thought he posted it. Our buddy James Dealey, MLR Stats, North American Rugby Database, at NA Rugby DB. I thought he did a comparison in week one of last year versus week one of this year in scrums. It was relatively close. Like overall, the amount of scrums we had.
Across the league?
Yeah, across the league, week one to week one. Based upon, you know, the now that we have the variations.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it was just mollywomping. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that one, Rob. It's just, Seattle, unfortunately, didn't show up in form that they wanted to show up in, you know, and that's kind of the name of the game, you know?
Yeah. And again, with guys like Creel and Devin Short and JP Smith. Although JP Smith didn't play in that game, did he? He was out, and Reichard Hadding was out too. So
yes,
kind of gives you an idea. Without that veteran leadership, they might have missed a step or two.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I just, that shouldn't be an excuse, in my opinion. There's a lot of guys on that team. The management has been management for a while. You know, what we have seen in the past, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is a lot of times the issues come from the top down, and Seattle doesn't have that issue at this point. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right. so, So, all right. So let's get on with this weekend's matches or slate of games. Sure. Yeah. So what do we got on tap? We got Anthem versus San Diego, mm-hmm. and that'll be in Charlotte. Chicago plays host to Utah. I'll be at that match, so I'm looking forward to it. Although, first of all, folks, just so you know, it's been in the single digits here. When I woke up this morning as of the recording, it was -6 outside. -6.
Baby.
It's supposed to warm up by Sunday to the high 30s. So hopefully the rugby gods will smile on us.
Well, let's put it in Friday is Anthem versus San Diego.
Yep. It's for Friday match, no Saturday matches, 3 Sunday matches.
Exactly. So Anthem San Diego Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. They're in American Legion Memorial Stadium in North Carolina.
Yep. Chicago, Utah, of course, is going to be in Bridgeview at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Miami is playing host to NOLA, if I'm not mistaken.
4 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. Eastern. And then L.A. plays host to Houston.
6 p.m. Eastern, which I like because it's not too...
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Not too crazy of a match, but, you know, not crazy early for L.A. You know, you're talking about 3 p.m. kickoff in L.A., 6 p.m. Eastern. I think that's great. I think if it was Saturday, maybe you put that baby at 8, you know, and then you have a 5 p.m. kickoff and an 8 p.m. kickoff Eastern. But on a Sunday, I think this is a perfect day, a perfect time, you know, 3 p.m. at home for them. So that's a nice one. So, Rob, before we go into our picks and our lock of the week, what game should I be doing a live for?
I'm thinking either Miami NOLA or LA Houston, and I'm leaning towards Miami NOLA. Because if you recall last year, NOLA actually went to Miami and lost early in the season.
I did NOLA last week.
Oh, okay. Then do LA Houston.
I'm thinking more Chicago, Utah, because this is the first time we're going to see Utah.
Yes. No, that's not a bad idea. I got you there.
And we get to see your ugly mug on the television.
That's true.
So I think we're going to go with that.
We actually be kind of together once more this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we're doing it together.
Yeah, I'll be interested in that match, not just because I'll be there and be on the sideline, but also because the first time we're seeing Utah. And again, they jettisoned about 17 players, if you recall, in the early fall and added to the roster. We have All-Black,
Paul Mullen.
Yeah.
Looked so good in NOLA.
He did.
And I don't know it was just the change of scenery or, you know, he's worked with Cam Dolan so often. He's worked with Matt Harmon so often. He's worked with
those guys
so often, you know, it was just a natural fit for him. But he looked, I mean, he was fired up. He was the Paul Mullen that I complained that we haven't seen, in my opinion, on the international stage. The fucking opponent slapping in the face, Paul Mullen.
Your favorite Paul Mullen.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that match. It'll be an interesting one to see which, you know, Utah team turns up, and it'll be interesting to see if Chicago can continue really doing a masterful job at controlling the pitch and playing it in the right areas of field, especially later on in the game, like they did last weekend.
Absolutely. So let's get to our picks.
The Rugby Rants lock of the week.
And so my overall picks, my lock of the week is San Diego over Anthem by 15. I just think San Diego's on a roll. And even though they let it slip a little bit in the second half against Seattle, they still were just confidently in possession of the ball to win. Anthem really has to show me something in their set piece and really has to show me something in their ball handling. And I know it sounds stupid and you know, did they have the guys to do it? But until they show it to me, there's nothing I can do about that. So that's my lock of the week is San Diego by 15 on that Friday. I have Chicago by 5 against Utah. Utah always comes out hot in the beginning of the season, Rob. You know this. I know this. I think they got an extra week's rest. They got an extra week's worth of practice. I think they're going to come and punch Chicago in the mouth. But I think Chicago, having their first home match, they'll turn around the second half, Chicago by 5. I have NOLA going down to Miami winning by 3. I think NOLA put in a complete game. And, yes, they did it against a team that didn't have their best performance. I don't know how Miami's going to recover psychologically from losing that game to OGs. They might still have a little bit of sluggishness in them. So I got NOLA by three. And then I have Houston by three against LA. It could be more, but I'm not sure. You know, if LA can put it together, I think they give Houston a little bit more of a time, but I still think Houston wins. I just think Houston going out to LA gives LA a little bit, you know, maybe a 3-4 point advantage. So really, if you took the converted try, I was going to give Houston and you knock it down 3 or 4 points for a home pitch advantage. I got Houston by three. So what's your lock of the week and your picks, Rob?
For me, the lock of the week, it's too easy to go with San Diego. I'm going to pick them, but I'll talk about that in a moment. I think my lock of the week is going to be Houston over LA. I do think LA is a much better team, especially in the midfield. I think their pack needs to gel a bit more. That's been Houston's strength. Although I got to say, if Houston doesn't turn up in their line-out throws, it's going to be another long afternoon for them. But I think they'll get those things straightened out and they'll come up on top. So I'm going to go with Houston by five. Then I'm going to go with top of the game. See, as I said, San Diego. I'm going to go San Diego 21. They put a drubbing on Seattle, who's been around, who had a lot of longstanding players, a lot of veterans in that squad, and these Anthem are young guys. Shouldn't say.
Here's
boys,
what I'll guy. Say about that point spread. I don't disagree with you that it might be that way, but if you look at the historical context, coming off a short week going across the coast, sometimes these teams put in their backups to start, and you don't have that electric start that you normally get. Just saying, yeah, right? You know that happens. And the game plan for this.
I know what
thing.
You're saying. And if it were mid season, I would agree with you there. But I think there's a lot of juice right now for these guys. They're ready to get into the season, and it's their first road trip. They're going to be excited for that. So I think that's going to be somewhat minimal. I'm going to pick Chicago over Utah.
Oh, really? Are you?
Yeah, somewhere. Chicago by over Utah by. I'm going to go by two.
I don't know why we let you pick. Like, it's a Kirk Herbstreit doesn't pick the games he announces on college game day. I'm just saying.
Well, clearly, I'm not very good at picking, as evidenced by my Super Brew score. So, I think I had a point and a half. Woo. Whereas Houston Knight, the winner of Super Brew, had like eight. So, shows you what I know. And then I'm going to go with NOLA over Miami by five.
I think that's, like I said, I wonder if Miami can bounce back. Now, if Miami bounces back with gusto, fuck, great for them. I just don't know if they have the wherewithal. It just, they seemed demoralized in the last 15 minutes of that OGs match. And it felt like a lack of leadership, in my opinion, and a lack of something on the field to get them over that hump that we've seen other teams have in certain players. But listen, that's what it is. That's our picks and our lock of the week for our Subaru contest presented by Macron. And listen, you still have time. You could still win the overall season title, because dumbasses like David Fee don't pick all their games. You can still win. You know, it's each individual week. It's not cumulative points. Up until that last, the cumulative points only goes after the season's over. So you can win an individual week if you sign up now. So sign up for our Super Brew. It's fun. We have, I think, 100 people in it right now, 105 mm-hmm. people. And it's a ton of fun, Rob. I love busting balls about it.
I know you do. I know you do. And probably the favorite person to bust balls is my son. I think
you. Listen, I was busting his balls. You had that nice, thing about the Bombers, and I think I had a nice.
Yeah.
No wonder Preston gets all those starts. All those Bombers are on MLR teams now.
Poor kid.
Anyway, guys, that's episode 201, rather done and dusted. I'm the big guy, Scott Farrar. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.